We're going to build a pro personnel department, and that pro personnel department really will be the transfer portal. So that will be what we build there to monitor all the college teams, whether it's in the ACC, the Big Ten, the Southeast Conference, or in any conference, right? The new Pac-12. So you have to monitor all the players just like you would in pro football. And then obviously you'll have a director of college scouting, but that guy will be the director of high school scouting and monitor all the high schools. North Carolina has a great fan base. They have a tremendous recruiting area in the Tidewater area in Virginia. They haven't been into Florida as much in recent years, but there has been a time where they were very good in that state. So we're going to try to expand it to a national program, which it should be. I mean, when you mention North Carolina, that brand is significant.
It's Bill Belichick's new GM at the University of North Carolina.
That's right. The guy who drafted Jamarcus Russell, number one overall, the Oakland Raiders.
It's Mike Lombardi,
yep.
Formerly of VSiN.
That's right.
On VSiN.
Sure.
So I thought that was nice of him.
Yeah,
like, hey, I'm moving on, but I'm going to give you guys an interview.
Guys, North Carolina football is one of the best.
You know, they're going to make inroads in the state of Florida.
I haven't gotten into Florida much. It's like, really? If you haven't gotten into Florida, I mean, that's kind of on you. But no, I mean, I think they have a chance to be pretty good. Like, I think Bill Belichick in the ACC, just coaching them up.
All right, so
I am curious how Lombardi factors in and, like, how they recruit and everything. That's going to be fascinating.
Let me be fair to you on this, Keefe.
Yeah.
And it's high noon here on Jones and Keefe. It is a Bruins Thursday, which means we'll talk to Razor, Andrew Raycroft, coming up about a half an hour from now. But we've been mostly Belichick to UNC and the Red Sox acquiring Garrett Crochet. Brief detour on Gerard Mayo. You can jump in on both. Again, it's 617-779-7937. Let me be fair to you on a couple of things.
All right, please do.
You know, number one, what Lombardi is saying there does make some sense. We're going to carry it like it's professional football. You know, we are going to scout college football like you would pro personnel.
Yeah.
And then we're also going to have what would normally be your director of college scouting. He's going to be a traditional high school recruiter. So there are multiple ways to bring in players. And I've been skeptical about Bill paying and outmaneuvering other schools when it comes to some 18-year-old, or in the case of a transfer, some 22-year-old kid. Bill didn't want to pay Tom Brady at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Bill didn't want to pay myriad free agents over the years that left, and you could say he got it right or wrong, but there's a lot of guys Bill didn't want to pay. And to bring a player in, you have to do that. Not everyone. There were targeted strikes, and even 2021 was a targeted offseason. But largely, Bill had a budget, and he wouldn't move off of it. This should be encouraging for people like you who think Bill will succeed in the recruiting world of college football. This is from Matt Hayes. He covers college football. Sources tell me UNC will increase its NIL package. Nice.
Yes.
We all wish we could.
Yep.
From $4 million a year to $20
million. Significant.
So that, I don't know how that compares. I don't know enough about the NIL world, how that compares to Ohio State and Michigan and Georgia.
But maybe less than Clemson. But I would imagine in the ACC, that's up there.
Well, and it's five times the investment level.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that sounds like he's going to have money to play around with. I don't know that he's going to want to spend it. And I don't know that he's going to want to spend $8 million on one player, but he probably is going to spread that money out. We'll see if the approach works. They are committing to it. And if they're going to commit to it and there's money to spend, it's not like Bill can pocket that.
I also think, like, it's going to be fascinating to see how he goes about it, because one of the reasons he didn't want to pay Brady was the history of football. Quarterbacks over 40, there was like four of them that did it. None of them were very good. So like, he's like, this guy was not going to do it.
Well, and some of it was ego, because he didn't want Brady making more than him.
So there's a lot of that. And I don't know how many players are going to make more than him. What is he making? $10 million? It hasn't come out yet, but that's sort of the guess. So I don't know how many players are going to make more than him. Plus, there's that second, third contract for guys where Bill's probably like, I can just get somebody younger and cheaper. It's college. Every guy's young. Every guy's younger. And so the most they can be there is 4 years for him. I mean, outside of like red shirts and everything else. So like, it's going to be a short time through. You're going to really try to highlight the year or two. And I do think he's going to be able to get players. So he's going to have to pay them, right? That's sort of how it goes. And I'm sure other guys like Lombardi and Patricia will kind of be in charge of all of that. But I do think there's going to be enough kids that look at it and say, man, if I want to play in the NFL, isn't this guy with his whole staff that's NFL guys, like, can't they get me ready? And, like, there's going to be a lot of attention on North Carolina football next year.
Yeah, look,
they're going to have game day. They're going to have primetime games. They're going to be all over the place.
If Bill wants to, you know, go all out in recruiting and pay kids, he now has the means to do it.
Yeah.
But he's still going to do it.
Right.
And I'm skeptical he will, but North Carolina is giving him the means to do that. So that is a fair point for people who think this is going to work at UNC. You alerted me to this tweet, Keith. Bill Belichick has a press conference, I believe, scheduled for 2 o'clock.
2 p.m. sharp.
I don't know. I mean, is that the kind of thing we're carrying live here? I have no idea what WEEI Afternoons is planning on doing with that. They'll be
balls in their court.
Well, they'll be reacting to it at bare minimum all day long.
Yeah.
Okay. Bill just arrived at Chapel Hill.
Looking good.
Hashtag Chapel Bill, which I'm already sick of.
I don't like it.
I'm so sick of it.
Yeah, I've heard it.
That it's fine for a couple of days. If we're doing that all year long, I can't. Yeah. I already can't handle it.
I don't like it.
Three pictures, three images that they sent out. Bill's giving like one of these, like staring into the camera with a big smiley face.
Is it full Carolina blue or just close? It's not really full Carolina blue.
Honest, it's one of the things I noticed too. He's wearing a lot of blue, but I wouldn't say he's wearing any Carolina blue.
No, he didn't have time. It's more purple, right? Is that a purple tie?
There's one where he's hopping out of the car where honestly he looks like an old man. I mean, I know he's in his 70s, but I'm just saying he looks it. That's
he
all.
He is, in fact,
I'm
an
like,
old
oh,
man.
Oh, man. You talk about the idea that he could go to UNC for a few years and then the NFL.
Yeah.
I know that's kind of been spitballed. Like, this will be a stepping stone, jumping off point.
No.
He's not coaching for a you're not coaching past 80, I wouldn't imagine.
He looks way I feel after level 99.
He looks like an old man. He looks how I feel after level 99 last night. You're right. And then there's a third image, Keith.
That's right.
He's standing here with who? The AD, a chancellor?
Is that the AD? I don't know who that gentleman is, but he seems important.
He looks like an important. He's an all-business guy.
Yep.
Bill's in the middle, and then flanked to Bill's right, left of the picture, is Jordan.
This is serious. This is serious stuff.
Jordan Hudson.
Yep. She's obviously on lunch break from her classes there at North Carolina. No, but she's right there. This is no joke. Well, there she was that rumor.
They were able to align Bill's press conference with her study hall, which is good.
Was it TMZ or wasn't it a couple weeks ago there was a report that he was like shopping for engagement rings?
Oh?
That was one of these like internet reports. So I have no idea. And I don't think anyone.
You
want
to know how to
like,
really piss off Linda is not just date a 24-year-old.
Just marry one.
Marry
him. You could get married to one. If you're Stephen Bryan,
Bill's
aren't you like.
Bill starts his press. I pick colleges like I pick my wives.
If you're Stephen Bryan, aren't you like, this is all fun and games, but what's the deal? Like, she's not getting half of this, is she? Like, when this is all said and done?
Right.
What's the story? But yeah, she's gonna be right there. I don't know if she's gonna be on the dais or she's gonna be like in the crowd. But
yeah, something tells me she's gonna make sure she's front and center. Phil Perry,
check her Instagram later.
Yeah, she's dressed up as a fish. Phil Perry, by the way, a bunch of the beat writers. I happen to see it from Phil's timeline. Brian Belichick did speak today. Really happy for my dad.
Nice.
I'd imagine he'll be at UNC.
I would think so.
A lot of people are excited, including him. It'll be fun to watch. He loves coaching football. It's what he should be doing. And I think we're all excited to watch it. It's what he should be doing in the NFL, but the NFL doesn't want him. So we'll get to more of your thoughts on that. Tony is in West Springfield. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, long time no talk, guys. Yeah, hey.
This is my mistake.
Big Head Tony.
This is our guy, Big Head Tony. What's up? What's up, Tony?
Yeah. Head honcho. Yeah. Stay with me here, but it's almost like this is the closest to being an owner that Bill's ever going to be, right? And I feel like he's setting up the entire program. We've seen what Deion's done, where Belichick is that amplified, isn't it? I mean, he's gonna completely, and I think he's gonna delegate differently than he ever has before too. So the recruiting everybody's worried about. You got maybe this is a bad example, but Rob Gronkowski shows up to a tight end's house to recruit him and build Zoom conferences in. I mean, you got, you know, Teddy Bruschi showing up to a linebacker's house and build Zoom. You know, I don't feel like it's going to be a big thing as far as the recruiting goes. And I got to feel like if you're a manager of a 40-year-old and you hired a 19-year-old hotshot, you're going to treat the two employees differently. So I feel like, and maybe not, but maybe Bill will treat these young kids a lot differently, especially after the last year we've seen Bill.
Maybe.
Act a lot differently.
Maybe he learned something, Tony.
It's possible. I would imagine, you know, how he went about drafting players, which obviously by the end was really not good. I wonder if he will be less hands-on with that. He's like, he's going to go watch all these high school kids play?
No.
Or are they going to come up with a list, be like, these are the guys we want, and then like the final like 10, he's like, all right, I'll go meet. Be the closer.
Dan Wetzel made the point, and this is not, he's not the first to do it. I think it's absurd because Bill has zero personality compared to this guy. But Wetzel made the point that it's like Deion. Deion posts up in Boulder and recruits come to him.
Yeah.
And that's that's
I think Bill could do the same.
Bill could do the same. By the way, text line, always dangerous, 617-779-7937.
Look at that. Call always, in, text in, same number.
Always dangerous to go right off what the text line says. But the text line claims Georgia, Texas, and Ohio State were the largest NIL budgets last year at about $20 million. So if you're competing with that, go do it.
Like, is that it for Ohio State?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
You can have Gronk call all the recruits you want. Teddy, kids are not going to care about Teddy Bruschi, I'm sorry. Gronk, Brady, names like that, more recent names, might ring out. Bruschi ain't landing any recruits for you. You know, Ty Law, God love him, not landing recruits for you. Yeah, more recent players.
You need the younger guys.
Yeah, Gronk, Brady, of course. Like, those guys might. You still got to pay. You still
pay. No, he's got to pay,
And again, he's got $20 million to spend, but is he going to spend that $20 million and build up the middle of his roster, or is he going to spend $7, $8 million on one kid to get him a stud prospect?
Before he even took the job, and we were asking this same question about, you know, he didn't really want to pay in the NFL, would he pay in college? How much of that was Robert Kraft?
Fair.
Because post-Bill Belichick, it's more the same. So did Robert Kraft say, hey, work in this budget, and then Bill's making most of the money, and now North Carolina's
We'll find out.
Oh, I know.
If Bill is spending money hand over fist at UNC and landing big recruit after big recruit, it is going to put the spotlight back on Kraft. Totally fair.
I'm curious now because, like, you know, can kids that were already committed to other places, I guess they can, right? Can you decommit and all that stuff?
Sure.
So, like,
the transfer portal is open right now.
I would not be surprised between now and New Year's Day we hear of a couple big swings going to North Carolina.
Oh, I would.
I think so.
I would be surprised.
I think they're going to get. I think they're going to
define a big swing as like a 4 or 5 star kid.
Yep,
I would be surprised.
Right. We'll see.
Okay,
I think it happens, and maybe even a big transfer too. I think some of these transfer kids are going.
Those guys count. I mean,
that counts.
Yeah, that counts as a big ticket.
Like stud dudes. Like yes. I don't know enough about North Carolina football to know how good the kid was that replaced Drake May, but I wonder if, like, you have a new quarterback in there, like you have, like, a new, you know, middle linebacker for Bill.
We'll hear more from Lombardi coming up, but Lombardi was bragging about UNC's rich quarterback history at one point. So
Mitchell
we'll hear,
Trubisky.
Yes.
Sam Howell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he left out Sam Howell, actually.
Yeah, well, put him in there.
He wasn't so quick to name the
Ronald
quarterback.
Curry?
So quick to name the quarterback here in New England. You'll hear that coming up in a little bit.
Basically, what we did was we traded Bill Belichick for Drake May. North Carolina had to wait a year to get him.
Good trade.
But that was the trade.
That's
I feel like a win for us.
Good trade.
As Patriots fans.
Tremendous trade, actually. Yep. More from Wickersham here. You alluded to some of this earlier, Keith. But
yeah.
I like the image of this. This is how the story starts. They met every week, Bill Belichick and a handful of his former assistants with the New England Patriots. Matt Patricia, Mike Lombardi, Josh McDaniels, to name a few. Men with whom he had won Super Bowls, all of them out of work. I just like the image of those guys all sitting around.
I don't hate it. Like, you know, you guys
they're like, Patricia, you got anything? He's like,
we'd be doing so much better if we were in charge of that team.
Right.
Like, yep.
Lombardi, Bill says something.
Right, Bill?
He's like, Bill.
Right, Bill?
Yeah.
Bill, tell us what to think real quick. Hey, tell us our thoughts on this.
Mike, come over here and sniff this real quick.
The smell.
They'd chat over Zoom. Oh, so they weren't all in the same room.
Oh, sometimes they would Zoom.
And go through each NFL game as they once did in Foxborough.
Nice.
As only they could. Teams, trends, salaries, schematic shifts, stuff only they knew to look for.
Because, again, football is the most complicated thing in the world.
Yeah.
Nobody else can do it.
No, I mean, again, it wasn't about Brady. It was about them noticing a schematic shift.
Right.
Like that when Matt Patricia
went to Detroit, he knew exactly what buttons to press. He knew exactly how to do it.
When Mike Lombardi drafted Jamarcus Russell.
When Josh McDaniels took over the Broncos, he was two steps ahead of everybody.
Man. They knew everything.
Like, please.
When Bill won 4 games last year.
Yeah, please.
2 years ago. Stuff only they know to look for. Questions only they knew to ask.
Mm-hmm.
A common language and way of thinking.
They might have a common language.
Well, it's all Bill's.
You're right, Bill.
Yeah, they just...
That's the common language. Good call, Bill.
Once the envy of the NFL and beyond, from other sports to business schools, now valued less around the league. The subtext was unspoken but understood. Which NFL teams might make a coaching change this year? And of those teams, which of them might be interested in a 72-year-old eight-time... Let me correct that real quick. That's written just as matter of fact.
Eight-time.
Eight-time Super Bowl champion. He's a six-time Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
And of those teams... Which would Belichick want most? So he goes through the teams, Keith. You ready?
Power ranks them.
According to sources with direct knowledge, the group deemed the Bears were probably the most attractive job. Probably.
Huh.
But team brass was unlikely to consider Belichick. Oh, that's weird.
So they knew. They knew that's, that Chicago was a no-go.
So the best job, they're like,
can't get it.
Not getting it.
Can't get it.
The group expects the same thing most around the league do. The Bears will go offense, hoping to give quarterback Caleb Williams a chance at a career. probably targeting Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson.
But that's, again, only they would know that.
Yeah.
Not us. No. Not everybody else in the world. Anybody that watched Chicago play, watched Detroit play, and was like, they should get that guy.
Good thing they had those fart-sniffing meetings to come up with that.
So cross them off the list.
Yeah, cross them off the list. And by the way, it's like, it's said just like, oh, well, they just want to go offense. Another way of saying that is like, they don't want Bill to come in and destroy their quarterback. Like, that's another way of saying it.
It's
like,
ah,
well, they just want to go offense. What's Bill supposed to do? Like, Bill's like, SOL on that one.
I guess.
Like, no, they don't want him to come in and torch their young quarterback.
Yeah.
The Jets were a non-starter. Bill had issues with owner Woody Johnson back in 2000 before Johnson officially bought the team. And he's been critical this past season in media roles with Johnson's horrific stewardship. Mm. Maybe the Giants, where he spent time in the 80s, could work. But Bill knew that would be a rebuild with the New York press at his heels. Plus, he believes the team would do best to retain its current coach, Brian Daboll.
He likes Brian Daboll.
Oh, so there we go.
The wrong Brian. He texted the wrong Brian. Remember when he texted Flores about the Giants job?
So Bill didn't want to rebuild, and B, Bill wants Brian Daboll to keep that job.
Right.
And then there's a weird digression there about the New York press. So that was Bill's choice, I guess.
That would be a disaster of a job, though.
Out of the kindness of his heart.
Giants job would stink.
He'd take it if they offered it.
Yeah.
Dallas was a potential spot. We read this earlier.
Yeah, they kind of skipped past this.
Nobody can take a collection of talent and turn it into a team like Belichick.
Andy Reid's doing a pretty good job.
But nobody knew if owner Jerry Jones would move on from Mike McCarthy, and if he did, if he'd want to hand over the team to Belichick.
So
one, McCarthy might be back, and two, even still, Bill wouldn't be his top choice. I think Dion would be.
But there's also, like, you can read into that, not just, like, hand over the team. Like, Jerry Jones runs the Cowboys.
Yep.
So, like, would Bill Belichick be okay with Jerry running the Cowboys? Would Jerry
hand over?
You know what I'm saying? It's not just coaching.
True. Yeah, yeah.
He'd be like, no. It's my team.
Good point.
So maybe that's part of it.
Here's a dig at Jacksonville. They were another potential landing spot, but was it the right one? On his podcast, Lombardi took a shot at Tony Khan, owner of Shad Khan, who for years has run an analytics department, emblematic of the problems with the current NFL. And yeah, Lombardi said something to the effect of, you know, you got kids or owners' kids running the analytics department. That's the direction of the NFL.
Yeah. Tony Khan also in charge of a wrestling company.
So I'm supposed to believe Bill wouldn't take, that's true.
Yeah.
Bill wouldn't take the Jacksonville job if it were offered to him. He wouldn't take the Giants job if it were offered to him. He
doesn't want the Jets job.
He might want the Jets job. He might take the Cowboys job.
Or the Bears.
But he wants full control there. Jerry might not give him full control. And all this.
I do give him credit for being proactive in not waiting to the end of the year and knowing that he's going to be left out and like reading it now and being like, all right, I'm not getting a job now. Then I might as well. I want a coach.
But I think he knows that call's not coming. I think he
knows
that.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Yes, yes, yes. But no, like, you're saying it proactive like he might be missing out on an opportunity.
No, he knows the opportunity's not coming. Yeah. But I think a year ago at this time, he didn't know that.
Oh, yes, true.
He wouldn't have thought that.
Yes.
And I'm sure Mike Lombardi and Patricia could have talked him in his ear, been like, hey, let's just wait and stay in the NFL. There's got to be a job for us. Like, because those guys can't believe it.
Yep.
Like, Lombardi can't believe it. So Bill, to his credit, was like, it's not happening, and I don't want to do Manning, Cast, and McAfee anymore, so I'm going to go explore college, and first job he interviewed for, he got. So a lot of this is coming from the Seth Wickersham article on ESPN right now. Programming note, Wickersham's going to be on afternoons today.
Oh, 2:30. Great. Nice.
So it's going to be Arcand and Fitzy. Looks like Hart has the day off. So Arcand and Fitzy have Wickersham 2:30.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay, tune in. So you got the Bill press conference at 2.
Yep.
They'll be reacting to that. And then Wickersham at 2:30. Mark that down. Listen live on the Audacy app. AUDACY. Get it on your phone. So you can listen to Seth Wickersham today at 2:30 on WEEI Afternoons. Wickersham wrote again. He wrote this before that Bill was not a finalist, a top three finalist for the Falcons job. Bill actually was bristling at the idea that Terry Fontenot was talking in those meetings like he knew more about the draft than Bill.
I can sort of see both sides of it, right? Because if you're like Fontenot or somebody else, you're like, Bill, you haven't drafted very well. But if you're Bill and you hear anybody else like telling you what to do, I'd be like, dude.
But that's a Bill problem.
Yeah. Well, Bill, you're not getting the job.
Bill's sitting there going, yeah, I'll work with the GM. But then his first meeting with the potential GM in Atlanta, he's bristling at it and being like, this guy doesn't know more than me.
But plus,
Bill would never subjugate ego and just coach. He would never do that.
No, but I also think most owners and GMs know that. Yeah, they know just that. Like, he's not going to do that. On top of, if he brings in all of his guys, it's the same. Now you have the one voice being like, I really want to, you know, trade up. And, like, Patricia and Lombardi and McDaniels and Judge and both of his kids, they're like, no.
It's a boardroom where,
you're completely outnumbered.
The votes are cooked. Yeah, exactly. So Yeah, I just find that to be amusing. And also in this story is that, and this is not the first time Wickersham wrote this, Kraft helped to tank Bill's candidacy in Atlanta.
That's dirty.
So
that is dirty pool.
I don't rule any of that out. And, you know, Bill also has himself to blame for that. I don't exactly think he was the most respectful of his boss over the years, and now his boss is lashing out.
This is a big win for Kraft, by the way. Because,
going to UNC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you already saw Tom Brady blow up in your face. The first year wins a Super Bowl elsewhere, so that made you look horrible. You stuck with Bill. Bill did have a chance. Now, not that you and I were betting on it, but if Bill went to another team and turned them around or did really well... So now Kraft let both those guys finish their career somewhere else, and they both did really well.
Yeah.
He can win 5 national titles at North Carolina. It's not going to affect Kraft. No. It didn't happen in the NFL.
No. I mean, maybe it's a little bit of bad PR in the meantime.
Well, it's like, look how good he is.
Bill's doing a lot of winning, and Mayo's winning 3 games again.
But, like, can you imagine if you had...
Oh, if he did it in the NFL?
And not only that, like, against Mayo and, like, the Patriots? Like, played the Patriots like and, like, pulled his pants down and just, like, out-coached them?
And he would.
You'd be like, what... And so Kraft doesn't have to worry about that.
Nope.
That's a big win for Kraft.
Another win for Kraft. And so, look, I mean, Kraft's being a giant baby if he's tanking Bill's candidacy for these jobs. But again, you kind of get what you deserve, Bill.
Up top, Pionk. Here it comes. Just wide. The rebound. They score. Set out in front. Shankly shoots. He scores. Now right of the net. Velarde shoots. He scores. Pionk. Here it comes. Deflected. They score. And they score from a crazy angle. It sneaks by Swayman. For the Boston Bruins, they're going to start a 5-game road trip, suffering an 8-1 loss here in Winnipeg.
8-1.
Snowman. Never want to give up a snowman.
You don't.
It's like when you see it on a golf card. What'd you get this hole? Snowman. I put up a lot of snowmen.
I was going to say.
Yeah, I do put up a lot
honestly,
of snowmen.
Honestly, not the worst hole I've ever had. I can tell you that.
On a par 5, you're feeling great about a snowman.
Yeah.
Too many snowmans on a par 4, those. It's a hard day at the office.
And Nick, you heard that right. Don't you dare isolate that. couple of programming notes before we get to some Bruins talk here on a Bruins Thursday. It's been a busy, busy day. Big news day. 1A and 1B, apologies to the Bruins, have been Bill Belichick going to the University of North Carolina and the Red Sox swinging a deal for Garrett Crochet. How do you feel about it and are they done? Two programming notes for WEEI Afternoons. One we were surmising about and the other we told you about already. Seth Wickersham will be joining WEEI Afternoons today at 2:30. His latest is up now on Bill. Basically, the NFL doesn't want him, and Bill's sending the NFL a big F you. He's disgusted with how they've handled it, and he's going to college to prove a point. They'll talk to Wickersham at 2:30. Arcandon Hart will also be taking the Bill Belichick press conference today live at 2 o'clock. So you'll hear Bill Belichick's introductory press conference.
Yeah, see if he sounds any different.
See if he sounds any different, if he's playing the game with the media. Maybe you'll hear Jordan in the middle of that press conference. Yep. Maybe. But you'll get both in the first hour of WEEI Afternoon. So I'd be listening live on the Odyssey app. I wouldn't go anywhere. I would stay tuned there right at 2. Listen to Wickersham at 2:30. Good stuff there. Meanwhile, somebody who I don't think ever gets a snowman on the golf course.
No.
And hopefully, I don't think you give up too many on the ice either, is Andrew Raycroft of Nesson. And he's brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning. The name to know... when your drains don't flow. Any snowmen there, Razor?
Well, I'm talking to you guys right now, so I had a few more than I needed to throughout my career. I'd still be playing, but it happens. It happens to everybody. That was ugly the other night.
Okay, yeah, it was. You say it happens. It happened to the Bruins and Jeremy Swayman the other night. We went into that game going, okay, it's a good test for the Bruins. They've been winning games under Joe Sacco. But it's been against lesser competition. Here's a good test for them. And they didn't do so hot in that test. What'd you take away from the game?
So, no, you're right. There isn't – listen, I understand that I'm the big homer here. I get it. There is a difference in giving up – like the Carolina game, they gave up 8 goals. That was different than this game in that – in Carolina, they gave up 6 goals in the first 28 minutes of the game, and it was good night, Irene. This one, they had a pretty good late second period. They cut it to 3-1. I'm not saying they were going to win that game, but it got out of hand late with the fighting and Winnipeg piling on late because they were upset about the fighting, and Swayman gave up a couple ugly ones in the third. My point is, it's not the same beatdown that they received a couple times earlier in the season.
You know, I'm looking through the Andrew Raycroft game logs. I don't see any snowmen.
Nice.
I don't see a single snowman in there. Couple sevens. You know, that's to happen. But like,
seven five games, you're still in it, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you got a good offense that year.
Yeah, fire wagon hockey. Yeah.
But like, what does that do to a goalie? Like, does Swayman just completely put that behind him? Or, like, how long are you thinking about eight goals? I know some were on the power play, but even still, like, you're in net for eight goals. How quickly can you move on from that?
Yeah, you feel it in the going into the next game, certainly. Your numbers take a massive beating, of course. Like, whatever his number, you know, he was getting his numbers back on track, and then they go all the way kind of back to where they were before the coaching change, and you gotta pile those back up. But essentially, yesterday's practice probably isn't that much fun. You're like, oh boy, I gotta work, and you get over that mentally, and then the next game you get into it. Okay, I hope I don't give up three, and like I just don't want bad things to happen. I don't want goals to go off my D-man's leg. I don't want to give up a goal from behind the red line. Like, just get back into the rhythm. So typically, it's that first period. You have a good first period in the next game, and all the eight-goal stuff goes away mentally.
After the game, Brad Marchand said, you could see this one, I'm paraphrasing, but you could see this one coming. We haven't been practicing well, et cetera, et cetera. I love Marchand. I didn't love that comment, Razor, because you're kind of the one in charge of how the team practices. It's the coach and the captain, right? So what'd you make of those comments?
Well, I think, of course it is. I think you, as a coach and a captain, though, you can also try to get everybody on board. I'm sure that practice, Brad Marchand was still competing harder than everybody else. That's what he's done his entire career. But you can't always drag everybody into the fight. And so I think those words were more directed at yesterday's practice and today's morning skate and tonight's game, in that, all right, we deserved it. It's not like we felt great going into, or we were doing the right things and we got unlucky. We deserve this one, and we got to get back on track. Again, they had with the 100 ceremony game on December, that was last Sunday. It was just one of those weeks where you could see something like that catching up. And when you go 7-2 as well, again, part of that honeymoon phase of the coaching where everything just kind of goes right and falls into place. This is a reset.
You know, when we last talked to you, we were talking about the goalie rotation, and since Joe Sacco has taken over, it's been, you know, two for Swayman, one for Corposalo, 2-1-2-1. They kind of went away from that, and they went three consecutive starts for Swayman. And I know Winnipeg's a good team, and maybe they had that one circled. They wanted to go with their number one goalie, even though he's not playing like a number one goalie. Do you think we should see more Corposalo? Because when he's been given a chance, he has played well this year.
Yeah, he's been great, and I think the schedule lines up that we see him, again, once a week for the next 3 weeks, so I would expect him tonight. Again, what time? 9:30 out there, so
10.
We'll hear in a couple hours.
Late game. 10.
I would believe me. I mean 9:30 in the morning right now. Believe me, I know.
Gotcha.
I know you'll be tuned in at 1:30 for the
morning. Locked and loaded. You know us, Razor. You know us well. Yeah. That's us.
Yeah. Oh my God. So I think we see Corposalo tonight, and then next week will be interesting if they go to a rotation, right? If he plays in Calgary next week, or if he gets the game at home against Buffalo on the way back. So I'm curious how next week looks, but this week I think you see a rotation and go from there. But certainly with a new coach and a guy who hasn't lost with the new coach against the guy who, you know, if there's another poor outing from Jeremy, I think you can see somewhere in here where, you know what, we're going to let Corposalo's leash extend a little bit.
So we're talking to Andrew Raycroft and Nesson, joining us here on a Bruins Thursday, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. They've already changed their coach. You have to wonder if a hockey trade could be in the cards. I know the deadline is a ways away, but I was reading Greg Wyshynski today, kind of a trade deadline primer or an early deadline primer. He says an NHL executive texted him recently and asked Chris Kreider for Brad Marchand, who says no. And
I mean,
you're already giggling at it, but could they look at the idea of moving Marchand at some point?
I don't see it. I laugh at the, you know, it's just, that would be massive. Like that would be the most, for that original six type trade to each other, that would be something else. So that would certainly be a groundbreaking trade. That's good. Good job by Greg for everyone to read that one, right? I don't see it. I think he's the captain for a reason. He's on Team Canada, Four Nations. I think there's other pieces that are failing at certain times and probably need to be addressed. But I don't think having Brad not on this roster makes them better in any way. So, if they were they had no chance of making the playoffs, full rebuild, I would be maybe I'd go along with it, but not in the scenario that they think they can win. You want Brad Marchand on your team.
As an aside, does Chris Kreider get traded this year? Because I've seen hockey writers like very split on it. Some are like, there's no way the Rangers trade him, and others are like, yeah, he's probably gone.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know those guys well enough. I know Chris Kreider's numbers going to the Raptors in New York, but they've gassed Henrik Lundqvist too. Like the New York Rangers, they just traded their captain away. They're in trouble. So, you know, the Bruins look like they've gone undefeated this season compared to the Rangers right now. My guess is Kreider doesn't go anywhere. But again, that would be, cause again, it would just be such a massive trade. We haven't seen these trades, guys. I guess that's where I go to. Like, I don't remember a big name superstar getting traded for another superstar in forever in this league. And that's why I guess I'm a little skeptical. It does sound fun and exciting, but I just don't know if GMs really have the guts to pull those kinds of things off right now.
Okay. He's Andrew Raycroft of Nesson. You can check him out tonight, late one, in Seattle against the Kraken. You can check out his work on Twitter at Andrew Raycroft. Razor, we appreciate the time. Every Bruins Thursday. We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome, guys. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Razor.
All right. Andrew Raycroft joining us here.
Yeah, you got to stay up late.
On WEEI, it is a late one.
10 tonight, 10 Saturday, and then back-to-back nines. Well, last night was 8, so 8, you sort of like ease into it, and then just late.
I like how he says Calgary.
Calgary.
I got to work on that.
You'll get there.
I got to work on that.
You get that. That's when the guys who know puck say Calgary.
Yeah, well, Canadians. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
well, they know puck.
Yeah, no, it's true. No snowmen for Razor.
Not that I could find. I was doing a quick run through of his game logs. A few touchdowns with the extra point, but no snowmans.
Few touchdowns, yep. And then some with the extra point.
Correct.
But no snowmen.
Yeah, I didn't see any.
All right, good for him. I mean, yeah, it's sort of a, hey, I never did that. Sort of humble brag there.
Very good.
Again, I know I've been guilty of a few too many of those on the golf course.
You're talking about the Calder winner from 04.
He probably didn't do it here. Exactly. He won
yeah.
the Calder.
Yeah,
won the
true. 617-779-7937. A lot of Pats talk on the show today. A lot of Red Sox talk as well. Let's get back to Garrett Crochet. We talked to Craig Breslow earlier today about the addition. Is he worth it, given some of the red flags? A lot of talent, but red flags as well. We'll get into that next.
Rafael Devers is our third baseman, and we're really excited about that. I think last year we saw some improvement in terms of the way he was able to move, particularly to his left, which had not been as comfortable for him as to his right. And then toward the middle of the season, after there was a stretch where he almost single-handedly carried the team for a number of weeks, he had knee injury, two shoulder injuries. I think that affected him probably more than he was willing to let on, because he wanted to play every day, wanted to do whatever it is that he could to help our team win. And so he is working hard right now. We've obviously made some changes to our coaching staff and feel like we're going to get the best out of him.
That was Craig Breslow earlier today here on Jones and Keefe. Easily the most direct answer he gave to any questions. Rafael Devers is our third baseman.
Yeah, he sure is.
I don't love it, and I don't know that I totally believe it, but he's on the record saying that very definitively.
Good range to his left, he said?
He was much better last year than it had been. He had struggled with it before, which I had never noticed. He was really throwing around the leather at third base, I thought.
But not to go crazy, not to go deep inside all of the advanced numbers and everything that there are with baseball. If I just said he's the worst defensive third baseman in baseball.
Yep.
Pretty accurate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you might get somebody from the woodwork being like, actually, like, there's a guy from, like, whatever team that, like, his defensive VORP is this. You're like, yeah, but overall, like, whether it's just errors, whether it's, like, literally defensive war, if you want to use that one, you know, it just range, like, getting to different balls, like, everything about it.
He's the worst.
Right. Yeah. So, I don't think it's crazy to talk about him playing another position. But for Cora and Breslow to be so adamant, especially when Alex Bregman's a free agent, and Alex Bregman's a name that has been out there. Obviously, Cora wants Bregman, but even Cora's like, yeah, I don't play him second base. The guy just won a gold glove at third base. But it's got to be, we just paid a ton of money to Devers, which suddenly isn't looking like as much money.
No,
so
but
could you justify him being a DH now, considering what Juan Soto and others are making?
I would justify it, period, by saying he sucks at third. Yeah. You might get more out of his bat at DH.
Yeah, focus on hitting, and you don't have to worry about getting hurt in the field.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That, especially that second thing, there might be something to him focusing on hitting, too. And I don't even have to worry about playing the field, and I can just worry about hitting 1,000% of the time. But yeah, you don't get him dinged up like you did last year. I mean, Breslow said he was playing through an injury. Well, you're less likely to get injured if you're not playing the field. So I would just say, I would justify it that way. But my guess is the reason Cora and Breslow are so adamant that he's the third baseman is because they know the owner doesn't want to pay him $300 million to hit. He's paying him $300 million to play third base. So that's my guess. And if you missed any of our interview with Craig Breslow, it's on the Odyssey app. Great thing to have this holiday season. A lot of driving. You want that on your phone. You can tune into WEEI Afternoons today. Listen to A, the Bill Belichick press conference, introductory press conference at Chapel Hill, right at 2 o'clock. They're also going to talk to Seth Wickersham at 2:30. Our full Breslow interview is also up on YouTube. Just subscribe. You can follow along there. The full interview. All of our questions, some of which you wanted to answer, like that one.
Yeah.
Some of which not so much. We believe it or not, we both are big fans of the Garrett Crochet deal.
Yeah, I like it even more after thinking about it because, like, we, as this whole process was playing out, we talked about all the free agents and the likely trade candidates. We all kind of ranked them. Like, you like Bregman more than I do. I like Burns a little bit more than you do, but, like, we like both guys. Yeah. And, like, we're kind of like power ranking all the different players. And I liked Garrett Crochet. I knew there were red flags. It was weird last year at the trade deadline when it came out that he would not pitch in the bullpen and he wouldn't pitch, period, unless you got a new contract.
Right.
You're like, man, you don't really hear that in baseball very often.
No.
Especially with a guy who has never pitched a full season. 146 innings last year, far and away the most in his career.
Yeah, do you want the year by year? It might be, I don't know if we've actually read it. Do you want the year by year for Garrett Crochet?
Because
it's pretty underwhelming. So Crochet came up in 2020. He was a first-round pick in 2020. I don't believe he pitched a game in the minors. He was immediately in the major leagues from the University of Tennessee. Now, it was a weird year, COVID.
Yeah, right.
He pitched five games, six innings in 2020. That includes, in addition, he also pitched two-thirds of an inning
in the postseason. Didn't allow a run.
2021, he appeared in 54 games out of the bullpen, 54 and a third innings. He then needed Tommy John surgery, missed all of 2022, came back late in 2023, pitching 13 games, again, all out of the bullpen, 12.2 innings. Last year, first full year as a starter, 32 games started, 146 innings, but he was basically shut down in the second half. He pitched. He wouldn't pitch more than twice through the order, and so that's his one outlier season. He's had injuries in the past, and you know maybe with his frame and or delivery, you could assume there will be more injuries in the future. He only has 2 years of term. He wants to be paid. He would not agree to a trade, as you pointed out, Keith, without a contract extension last year. That's what his agent was circulating around Major League Baseball, and there's not a long track record for success. Plus, you paid a haul in terms of the prospects you gave up. So I love the move. I'm on board with the move. I'm happy they're doing it. But you do have to acknowledge there's risk. I think it's worth the risk, but there is a lot of risk with this guy.
No, there is. And like to your point about you know second half of the season, starting in July, he maxed out at four innings per game.
Yeah, some of us found that out in real time, betting the over on his strikeout props.
For
he,
sure.
he was throwing 3 and 4 innings a game.
He was throwing 4 innings a game, and he still struck out like 51% of his outs were strikeouts.
Well, I mean, the guy.
He had a 9 strikeout game. He had an 8. He had a 6. He had a couple of 8s, a 7, and this was all 4 innings max.
That's a lot of snowmen.
Oh, yeah, he had a lot of snowmen.
He just snowman.
Early in the season, he had a bunch of double-digit games where he was throwing 6,
probably
7.
The Red Sox.
I mean, May and June, he basically was a quality start plus like 10 Ks, like almost every game.
Yeah.
So he's nasty. And so I look at it as, there's some red flags, but it's also a pitcher who's young and had Tommy John, and you got to be kind of careful with these guys. That's just how it goes. Also, he was on a horrible team last year, so they didn't trade him. So how insane would it have been if they just like pitched his arm off and like, hey, go for 300 Ks? Like, that would be insane because you're going for nothing and you're lowering his trade value and all that. So I think it's great. The Red Sox farm system is very good, and they just traded away one of their big four. But go up and down that list. Not a lot of pitchers.
No.
And look at the guys that are in the rotation right now. I think we've probably all been sold a bill of goods on Brian Baio. He might only max out as like a end of the rotation type of guy. Haugen Crawford coming off a career years, which is great, but we'll see how they respond. They needed a guy like this. He has the best stuff out of all the guys on the staff, maybe even all the guys that were available. Again, I like Burns. Burns is more consistent, but like
we both prefer him to Fried.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And so they just spent, the Braves just spent $218 million, or the Yankees spent $218 on Fried. I'd absolutely take Garrett Crochet, knowing that he hasn't really done it, but I think there's a chance that he could, and he's your automatic opening day starter, which to me is something that's important.
Unless they're not done.
Unless they go bigger.
Unless they're signing Burns or swinging a deal for one of these Mariners pitchers. Real quick, just because if you're not familiar with Garrett Crochet, I don't blame you. The White Sox were horrible last year.
They stunk.
Sounds like a younger Chris Sale with injuries, is what the text line said.
He's actually our Haas of the week.
He's the complete opposite from a physical standpoint, a frame standpoint.
He's like 100 pounds heavier than Chris Sale.
He's left-handed.
Yep, left-handed and
he's
tall.
He's a White Sox.
And tall.
He's had injuries. Sale actually was never hurt with Chicago.
No,
people
Sale
assumed
was
he was
going to
get hurt. But, yeah, no, this guy's a Haas.
Very different because
Sale was a string bean.
But Sale also had multiple top five, top three Cy Young finishes before he got to the Red Sox. It was much more of a finished product. But he was a bargain. So, like, the same idea, like, big lefty or tall lefty. Sale's not big, but he's tall lefty. A lot of big strikeout guy. And you're getting them before they hit their big contract. And Sale pitched for that contract.
Yep.
And then they got to him and they gave him a ton of money. They actually got to him a year early. They didn't need to even pay him as soon as they did. And then Garrett Crochet, we shall see. But after talking to Breslow, it doesn't sound like they're in a rush to sign
him. It wasn't a prerequisite to trade for Crochet to hammer out a deal. I mean, that was clear after talking to Breslow. Again, that's up on the Odyssey app or on YouTube. Seek those out. I'm sure you'll hear more of that before the show is out. Should the Red Sox pay Crochet? It doesn't sound like they're going to, but should they? And are they done? These are things we've discussed all day long. It's neck and neck, our top story on the show today, along with Bill Belichick to the University of North Carolina. We'll get to your Red Sox phone calls and more on Bill to UNC. Why doesn't the NFL want him? Why does the NFL hate him? That's next.